Proverbs chapter 17, and we're going to pick up in verse 17. And for those that have been here going through the book of Proverbs, and tonight's going to be just a little different than anything that we've done because I've tried to stay with either just one Proverbs or just a section. And we're going to branch out just a little bit and look at some other portions of Scripture that deal with this topic tonight and in the book of Proverbs. And so take a little more broad approach to the entire section. But really, the focal point is going to be around verse 17, and then another verse I'll read here in a moment. But look at this with me. The Bible says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man void of understanding striketh hands and becometh surety in the presence of his friend. He loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. Verse 20, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good. He that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Look over at chapter 18 in verse number 24. I woke up a couple days ago and one of my dear friends had just put Proverbs 18:24 and then exclamation points next to it. And that was his message to me. This verse says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so I know we're jumping all the way up into 18, but I think it just ties in with where we're at. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about being a friend. Finding good friends, being a good friend. And so we want to spend some time on that tonight. And I've just titled the message, A Proverbial Friend. A Proverbial Friend. Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be again in your house and in your word. And God, I pray that the practicality of this message tonight will just help to build relationships within this building, but help us as we go back out into the workplace and into the schoolhouse and into our neighborhoods and into our homes, that God, we would go out and just be the type of friend that you've called us to be and do. And Lord, it is important, and it's in your word, and so we know it's important. So just help us in this subject matter tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. There's a survey given to more than 40,000 people, 40,000 Americans. And of these 40,000, they said that these were the most valued characteristics in a friend. Number one was this, the ability to keep things confident. If you tell them something, number one attribute that people said that they found in a friend was the ability to keep things confident. Number two, loyalty. Number three, warmth and affection. We live in a digital age, smartphones, social media, computers. And I think we would all agree tonight that it is very easy in this age to lose the much needed physical connection of friends. In a rush for convenience, we text instead of call. How many of you would rather text than call? My hand's up. We send a card instead of a visit. I was writing out thank you cards this week, and I got on my computer and I started to type them out, and I thought, you know, I'm done typing out thank you cards. I'm going to start handwriting them again. Now, the good thing is it doesn't matter what I say because nobody can read my writing, so I can just basically put anything on there. But still, we send cards instead of visit. We email instead of having lunch. How many of you would have to admit that you have hundreds of friends on social media that you haven't said two words to in years and years? Lee Strobel wrote this. He said, people today will admit any problem. Drugs, divorce, alcoholism, I have a problem. They'll say that. But there's one admission, Mr. Strobel says, that people are loath to make. whether they're a star on television or they're someone who fixes televisions, it doesn't matter. It's just too embarrassing. It penetrates too deeply to the core of who they are. And it's this: people don't want to admit that they're lonely. Loneliness is such a humiliating malady that it ought to have its own political correct euphemism, relationally challenged, or its own telethon, anything to make it safer to confess. I don't have friends. I need friends. I'm lonely. We live in a world where true friendship is becoming more and more rare. I remember standing with the friend that sent me this verse this week, and standing in a crowd of people, and I was there, and another friend of ours, Greg Rothstein, was there, and Keith was talking. I named my son after this Keith. Keith was talking to these people around, and he was introducing us. And he looked at the people around him, and he said, "If you're lucky enough in this lifetime to have one friend as good as these two friends are to me, you'll be the luckiest person on the face of the planet." He understood the value of friendship. I wonder how many people in this room, if they were honest, would have to admit, outside of their family, they don't have many friends. We have a lot of acquaintances. We have family. But how many of us could say, I have a true friend, somebody I can go to, somebody that's there for me, somebody I can talk to, somebody that can encourage me and help me, and somebody that will share this journey of life with me, someone that can share in my victory, someone that I can share my trials with, someone I can confide in, somebody that desires to understand me, somebody that cares, somebody that feels the pain when I feel pain and the joy when I feel joy. We need people in our lives who share in our pains, our views, our passions, our hobbies. We need that. C.S. Lewis said this. I found this so true. But he said, friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, "Wait, what? You too? I thought I was the only one." How many true friendships have started that way? Wait a second. You have this same struggle? You find that interesting? You enjoy this as well? I thought I was the only one that was that weird. Thought I was the only one that was this funny. You know, things like that. What are you laughing about? See? It's true. Made one person laugh. The Bible, more specifically the book of Proverbs, has a lot to say about the topic of friendship. Evidently, it's something important. It seems maybe a little odd to come in on a Wednesday night and preach on friendship, but it's in the Bible, so it must be important. And there's a lot in the book of Proverbs that over and over and over talks about finding good friends and being good friends. So evidently it's something that we need to hear and we need to be reminded of. And so I told you we're gonna jump outside of our world, of our text, just a little bit tonight, just quickly. And I want to just throw some thoughts out there that came to my attention through study today. And first off, I want you to see some friends that we should avoid. Some friends that we should avoid out of the book of Proverbs. Go with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 22 and look at verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 24. Notice what the Bible says. "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." Don't make friendship with somebody who can't control their temper. Don't go with them. Don't spend time with them. Don't be a part of the things that they do. It's very clear. Make no friendship. I read this story today that a man who never seemed to be able to make or keep friends, he went to a psychiatrist to find help. And so he's talking to the psychiatrist, and as he was interviewing him, the man said something, but the psychiatrist failed to catch what he said. And so he simply asked the man, he said, "Sir, would you mind repeating that? I didn't hear you." To which the man responded, "What? Are you deaf or just dumb? I said, for some reason, I can't make friends, you blooming idiot." Wonder why? Listen, the Bible's very clear. We don't want friends in that circle. We don't want friends that cannot control their emotions. And so then, secondly, we see this. We want to avoid the gossiping friend. Proverbs 20, go back there. Proverbs 20 and look at verse number 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Here's the advice the Bible gives about the one that gossips, the one that revealeth secrets, the talebearer. The Bible says, therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips, with that person who is constantly talking, that cannot be trusted. There's an old saying, a friend is a person who does his knocking before he enters, not after he leaves. During World War II, there was a campaign of advice to servicemen, and some of you would remember this, and you've used this terminology throughout your life. But there was this campaign of advice to servicemen and other citizens to avoid careless talk concerning secure information that might have been of use to the enemy. The most famous slogan during this campaign was this: loose lips sink ships. The point of the slogan was a warning to military families of those privy to ship movements that if they talked too much, the enemy would eventually intercept the information and possibly destroy the ship and their loved one. I wasn't around during that. And so I prefer this one. Snitches get stitches and end up in ditches. I think that's the way you say it. Isn't that right? Isn't that what you told me, Colin? That's right. I think I heard him and quoting Colin, and I have no idea who you're quoting. Probably don't want to know. No, you want to write that down in your notes. Snitches get stitches and end up in ditches. All right, that's good stuff. You'll use that sometime. Now, avoid the gossip. And then go to Proverbs 14. Look at this. We want to avoid the foolish friend. Proverbs 14 and verse number 7. The Bible says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceiveth not in him the lips of knowledge. We've been on our series through Proverbs for a good long time now. Well over half of the sermons have in one form or another, it seems like, dealt with the topic of the fool. The Bible, my Bible, has headings over the section breakdowns. In chapter number 17, we have a section that we're in right now, and the heading that I have is a friend loveth at all times. But then you go to the next section in verse 24 through 28, and the heading I have in my Bible is the eyes of a fool. You go over into chapter 18 and verse 6, the heading over 6 through 15 is the fool's mouth. My point is that we just constantly see the idea, the topic of a fool coming up over and over and over and over. So there's a lot of descriptions about the fool. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. And so Solomon, in writing these, I think he's trying to help his son realize some things. And he has several thoughts in mind when he's writing this to his son. He doesn't want his son to be a fool. He wants his son to be able to recognize and avoid the fool. He also wants his son to know how to handle a fool. And so the whole idea here is that this isn't the type of friend you want, son. Avoid them. Stay away from them. We say this all the time. You are or soon will be like those you're closest to. It's far easier to pull somebody off of this platform than pull somebody up on this platform. And so those are the friends we should avoid. But I want to get to our text, and I want to look at the type of friend that we should look for, and the type of friend that we should be. An unknown poet wrote this: I went out to find a friend, but could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and I found friends everywhere. We want to be the type of friend that we want friends to be to us. So what kind of friends do we want to be, and what type of friends do we want to have in our life? I think the first thing we see in our text tonight is that we want a friend that is loyal. The Bible says a friend loveth, and these words have jumped off the page to me all day long. And I'm probably going out of order a little bit here than I usually would, but I just can't get over the thought of this. All times, a friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 27, verse 10. Tells us about a loyal friend. It says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother that is far off. We were having a meal, Keith and I, this past week with Dr. R. at West Coast, and I just thanked him after the second meal we ate with him, and I said, Brother R., I just want to thank you for being a friend and to me, and especially a friend to Keith. And he quoted this verse, and he said, but wait a second, the Bible says, thy own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. He said, I've had a friendship with your dad long ago, and I want to be your friend, and I want to be your son's friend. The truth given in this verse is about being a loyal and true friend. We all need loyal and true friends. We need people that will be there and be our friend throughout our lives, no matter what. But this verse says all times. Someone once said, prosperity begets friends, adversity proves them. How many lottery winners realized how many long-lost relatives they had after winning the Powerball? How about the prodigal son? After receiving his wealthy inheritance, how many friends did he have? See, it seems everybody wants to be your friends when you're the one buying the meal. But once the wealth is gone, so are the friends. But the true friend is a loyal friend. It's somebody that's going to be there through the ups and downs. Not somebody that's just going to be a friend during the good times, but somebody that's going to be a friend through the tough times. Let me just say this. I don't want people that are going to just be friends in the tough times. I want people to be friends in the good times. It goes both ways. When we were in Colorado and both the tornado that we experienced and the accident that our church experienced, it was amazing to me through both of those trials how many people that I hadn't heard from in years came out of the woodworks. Oh, Brother Dan, I'm so sorry to hear about the tornado and the damage to your house and the damage to your church. Oh, Brother Dan, I'm so sorry to hear about the accident. My heart's broken for you and I'm praying for you. And I want to be clear, I was appreciative of that. But can I tell you that those that contacted me and those that called me that meant the most during those trials were not those that came out of the woodworks that I hadn't talked to in 5 years, but those that had been my constant friend. But we do need friends in tough times. A British publication once offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. Among the thousands of answers of a winning definition, finally read this. A friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. True friends are loyal. True friends aren't seeking just what they get out of the relationship. They're not just there when it benefits them. They're not just there to suck the life out of you. When they call or visit, offer nothing to you. You can be sure that every time you're around them, they want or need something from you. That's not a true friend. A true friend is somebody that's there and wants to give to you and be a blessing to you and help you. A man by the name of Dale Carnegie said this, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. That's what this verse is talking about. A man that has friends, he must show himself friendly. You want to be a good friend, be loyal to people. You want to find good friends, find people that are going to be loyal to you through the ups and downs, that are interested in not just the good that you have to offer, but are there during the bad, or not just there during the bad, but they're there during the monotony of everyday life. Small boy defined a friend as this, someone who knows all about you and likes you just the same. We want loyal friends. So what we need to be is, we all need to be loyal friends. But then there's a second thing here I see. Not only should we find friends that are loyal and be a friend that is loyal, but we need to find and be a friend that is honest. That is honest. Look at verse number 19. I've read this so many times and I never grabbed a hold of this until I studied it today. He loveth transgression that loveth strife. Okay, we understand that. And he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. I never really grabbed a hold of what that word gate meant. But almost every commentator I read and in the word study that I did, the most, it seems like, obvious and clear definition of that word gate would have to do with the person's mouth. He that exalteth. He that opens wide his mouth, he seeketh destruction. Somebody that doesn't know how to use their mouth aright. Look at verse number 20. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good. Then again, we find this idea. He that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. And so Solomon is going to a place where he's talking about the way a person communicates. Go to chapter 27 and verse number 6. Look at this. Chapter 27 and verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So we understand that if a person doesn't communicate right, they can hurt a friendship, and a friendship can be destroyed and broken down evidently by the way we use our mouth. And so how do we use our mouth? How do we use our speech? How do we communicate with our friends? The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. See, a true friend will be honest with you. I've said this so many times from behind this pulpit. We need people in our life that will tell us what we need to hear, not just what we want to hear. You want a pastor that's going to tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. That's a sign of true love. There's a friendship, a friend that will look you in the face and say, you're wrong. Would you rather have a doctor who finds cancer in your body and doesn't want to offend you, so he looks at you and says, you're just fine? Or would you rather have a doctor that tells you the painful news and says, hey, let's try to do something about this. I'm here to help. Well, of course, we want the latter. We need the same type of friends. I'm so thankful and had the opportunity on, I guess, yesterday. And when I moved to Lubbock here, and 7 years ago, and of course, Brother Denson was part of it, and moving to Amarillo, and we'd been a long ways away from each other, and so here now we're just moving about an hour and 45 minutes from his house to the church away from each other. And here's what we said: man, this is going to be awesome. We'll meet in Plainview, and we'll have lunch, or we'll have breakfast, and we'll have fellowship. It's going to be great. Well, it took 7 years, but we finally did it yesterday. We met in Plainview, and we had breakfast. Just to discuss ministry and encourage each other and help each other. I'm so thankful that Brother Denson is a friend enough to me that he's willing to say, brother, you're wrong on this. Brother, you need to step back and consider your point of view on this. And I'm so thankful that he's a close enough friend that I can do the same for him. A man by the name of Norman Vincent Peale said this: the trouble with most of us is that we would rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. So a friend that is honest. But one more, I want you to see this. A friend that loves. A friend that loves. 17:17 started that way. A friend loveth at all times. All times. It really isn't true friendship when friendship is conditional. Those that are selfish in their friendship will only love their friends as long as they're getting something out of the friendship. We don't like friends like that. We don't need to be friends like that. Stories told of Jackie Robinson, who is, of course, the first black man to play in Major League Baseball. He broke the color barrier. There's books, there's movies, there's all sorts of things that are written and acted out about him. But the reality is he faced jeering crowds everywhere he went. They say, y'all, he was playing in the early days in his home stadium in Brooklyn, that he committed an error. And immediately the fans in the stands began to ridicule him. They say, and historians tell us, that he stood at second base. He was humiliated. Well, the jeers were just raining down on him until the shortstop, Pee Wee Reese, went over and stood next to him, put his arm around Jackie Robinson, and then faced the crowd with him. And suddenly the fans grew quiet. Robinson said later that arm around his shoulder is what saved his career. Everybody had turned against him, and a friend came over and put his arm around him. One man said it this way: a friend loveth at all times. There are those who might call themselves a friend, but their affections turn with the wind and change with the weather. They are like ducks that flock in during... See, I thought I'd put ducks in here to help you. They like ducks that flock in during the summer, but fly south in the winter. As long as everything seems pleasant to them, they will hang around. But at the first sign of danger and trouble coming, you can count on them to flutter away like a covey of quail. It's no loss at all to lose a friend like that. If I love my friends, I love my friends the way that God told me to love them, I'll be there no matter what. And so this proverb, this portion of Scripture, it compares a friend with a brother. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Matthew Poole put it this way, a friend does freely by choice what a brother will do by obligation of nature. I'm not much one for poetry. I don't know that I've ever read a poem or quoted a poem to you in my time here, but this one came up in a commentary today, and I just found it a help. But a man wrote, it's a funny thing but true, that folks you don't like, they don't like you. I don't know why this should be so, but just the same, I always know that when I sour, friends are few, but when I'm friendly, folks are too. He said, I sometimes get up in the morning, wish I was never born, and then I make a few cross remarks, and my family wishes I had not been born as well. But then I change my tune, and I sing and smile. And then the folks around me, they begin to sing and smile. I guess it was catching all the while. It's a funny thing, but true. The folks you like, they sure like you. Abraham Lincoln was criticized with how he dealt with his enemies. One man asked, why do you try to make friends of your enemies? Shouldn't you try to destroy your enemies? To which Mr. Lincoln responded, am I not destroying my enemies when I make them my friends? I just want to be clear tonight. God's children should be the friendliest people in this world. There should not be a friendlier family in your neighborhood. There should not be friendlier kids in your school. You understand, I understand, I know, I've been there, you're there. Young people can be part of the cruelest people out there. Nothing and no place can be more cruel than a schoolhouse and kids to other kids. That shouldn't be said of Christian kids. It should be said in your workplace. It should be said of your lost family. Hey, man, I not agree with everything they believe and everything they do in their lifestyle, but they're the nicest people I know. We live in a world of miserable people, and we have been called to reach these people. And sometimes the greatest chance to reach them is to befriend them first, to build a relationship with them first. And so I'm asking tonight, what kind of friend are you? How friendly are you? What kind of friends do you have in your life? I would encourage you maybe, before you go to bed tonight, maybe before your day's over tomorrow, just find somebody and be a friend to them. Just love them. Encourage them. You know what a text can do? You know what a handwritten card or letter can do? Do you know what a call can do? Just a small encouragement, a small gift, a $5 Starbucks gift card. You know what that can do to pick somebody up, take them to coffee, buy them a meal, have lunch with them? It doesn't have to be much. But if you'll just be friendly, I think you'll find your life full of friends. Dave Hardy has said it often that he feels he's the richest man in the whole world because he has friends absolutely all over this world. And the man truly does. But he does because he's a friend. Probably 5 times a year. I don't know how many times he does to you, Brother Mike, but at least 5-6 times a year, probably every other month, I get a phone call on a Saturday. If I'm on a visit and I don't answer, he'll say, Brother Dan, don't call back. Just Brother Hardy, just telling you I love you, appreciate you. He always makes fun of me because I say absolutely too much. And he'll say, so absolutely have a good service tomorrow and don't need to call me back. And I mean, he's just a friend. That's why he has so many friends. And the reality is I truly believe that he's the right type of friend. He's going to be honest. He's going to be loyal. He truly loves me. He's going to love at all times. No matter what happened in my life, I think I could call him and say, Brother Hardy, I messed up. Brother Hardy, I'm struggling. And he'd give me all the time that I need. So how about you go find a friend and be a friend like that? And then may I just encourage you with this thought tonight? The text ends that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I truly believe that that text is talking about being that type of friend, that there are friends that we have in this life. But I think the perfect example of that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are times in my own life, in my pastoral journey, that there are things and burdens I carry that I can't take to anybody. But I sure am thankful. I got a Heavenly Father who never abandons me, never forsakes me. He sticks closer than a brother. He laid down His life for me. He never insults me. He always encourages me. He never says He doesn't have time for me. What a wonderful thing it is that we have a friend in Jesus. And there are going to be times where you feel like nobody else will listen. Nobody else cares. Jesus cares. And you can take anything and everything to Him and know that in the darkest of hours, He's still going to be your friend.